13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Headphones recommended. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome, my friend. Please come in. I apologize for not guiding you here myself. I felt the need to prepare the space, as no one has entered this room for many, many years. Strange. It was entirely devoid of dust. Everything tidy. And in the air, a whiff of amber oil. The scent would emanate from this room whenever he was busy scrawling and transcribing. I feel... this was the Sanctum Sanctorum. No one was allowed in this place but the architect, not even his own daughter. You see, here, the stars became his dreams. The dreams became plans, and the plans became this place. This is where the architect slowly and painstakingly conjured Hawthorne Manor. I have a feeling that this is where we will find our door. This is where it will end.
You are dreaming.
My friend, are you all right?
Always led?
You look frail.
And lead you here.
You look like here. Lie down.
Remind yourself.
Dreaming here is not advisable.
This is a dream.
Take care not to lose yourself. Remember, my friend.
Trick-or-treat!
There you are. Awake. And just in time. I imagine you have some questions. The heart. First. When I was young, Halloween was my favorite holiday. I had these recurring nightmares about a witch.
Remind yourself, said the witch. This is a dream.
I was frightened, but Halloween was the only night of the year when children could be out late. Our parents let us roam as we wished,
door to door, through the neighborhood, dressed as ghosts and unicorns and vampires and princesses and astronauts and ghouls.
On every other night of the year, we had to be home, safe across the threshold of the doorway, before the sun left the sky. But Halloween. This neighborhood stretched for miles. You could walk an entire summer and never explore every side street, the circles, the dead ends. Some streets existed every day. Others, only on the day of your first kiss. Others, only at the hour of your first parent's death. And you can only find the witch house at night. The blue stars show you. I will tell you a secret. When you see this neighborhood from above, the streets loop around. They form a pattern, miles wide, visible only from the sky. And they have always led you here. Like all children, we lived in our own world, full of rituals, ruled by rumors, beset with secrets. Children know the things adults do not, and so we knew the house at the end of Ashcourt Lane, which we called Witch House, was haunted. We saw the missing person notices at the end of the local news. We remembered how, once a year, a desk in the classroom sat empty. We heard our parents arguing in hushed tones when they thought we were asleep. Children worship danger, and love mystery most of all. We were 11 years old that Halloween, so we decided we would visit the witch house for ourselves. Remember, we, like you, knew the stories. We, like you, were brave. And no matter where we went, every street led us, like you, to this place and the things beneath it. We dared each other. The older children had all been to Witch House, we knew. And while they didn't speak about it, we knew the house gave them some sort of treat. Children who went to Witch House on Halloween seemed somehow blessed the next year. One boy's mother recovered from cancer. One girl took first place in the science fair, a prize that came with a scholarship, ensuring her escape from our cursed struggling town. The adults called these things miracles and hard work. But we knew the truth. The Witch House was not like other houses. You could make a deal. In return, one of you would be tricked. We did not know more than that. We didn't know how many children this house might have taken. We were learning, in our way, to be adults. And this meant we were learning a certain kind of blindness. We, like our parents, never talked about the missing children. Ashcourt Lane was on the far side of our neighborhood. A straight, unlit street, limned by overgrown lots and vacant houses. We walked under the moon, which cast blue shadows all around us. The branches swayed in the evening wind like the hands of skeletal prisoners scratching against the sky. And the shadows of these branches swam below, scuttling across the broken pavement, reaching for our feet. The street felt hungry, and a silence fell upon us. The other avenues and lanes, full of children and parents laughing house to house, it felt far away. A dream. Like the one you're having now. Soon, over the next rise, we saw the house. The Witch House stood in an empty field, at the end of a long driveway sloping upward. The house was old, so old that no one remembered when it had been built. It had somehow always been here. The weathered siding and chipped mismatched brick. Was it two stories? Three? Surely it had a basement, we thought. How deep did it go? There is a tower in the Witch House. A tower with a single oval window. And the story went. On one night a year, you could see a blue light in the window. A candle. Flickering. Faint. This was the night. The light shone just visible from the edge of the driveway. The wind rose around us. The ghost of an ocean. The front steps of the Witch House seemed solid then. Safer than whatever waited in the darkness. The five of us stood there in front of the heavy door. The color of old, burnished blood. At the top of the door, an iron knocker. Blue in the moonlight. Wrought in what must have once been a face. I touched the door. Laid my palm flat against it. It hummed. Warm. Knock, said a kid. Knock on it. I stretched up on my toes and strained to lift the knocker. It swung along a rusted hinge. I dropped it and stepped away as it slammed into place. The wind fell silent. I heard my heartbeat, the echo of that knock. The slow, rhythmic footsteps from somewhere inside the house. And like you now, on the edge of it all, I heard the song. It was like this dream you're having now. I tried to shout, a low croak until the ritual kicked in and...
Trick or treat!
The door swung wide. I remembered how to scream. You may have seen the news later. A missing persons report running on the lower third of the local news. A notice in the paper, below the fold, between an op-ed and an advertisement. Life moved on. One Halloween to the next. But what they don't tell you, what the children don't know, is what happens after the Witch House takes you. I awoke in here, by this fireplace. I dreamed of this. I thought, I should remind myself.
This is a dream. There you are, said the witch. Awake, and just in time.
It made me watch. In the low light from the fire, the witch opened a burlap sack. It pulled pieces of something from the sack and plopped them, one by one, into the cauldron over the fire. The witch spoke to me as it did these things, and though I could not understand what it was saying, its hand was on my mind. Palm flat as my own against the door. It held me there, invisible bonds like nails through my flesh. Holding me to the chair, I felt the witch etch its secrets one by one like ragged narrow fingernails scratching furrows in my brain.
There is a darkness between the stars, the witch said. And all of the world exists as a covenant between that darkness and the light. I felt the house. Felt it through all time, all ages. I glimpsed its heart in a low cellar by an ancient spring, a blue pulsing stone I saw, fallen here before the continent split. I saw the cave that grew around the stone, the blasphemies of the ancient things that worshipped it, exchanging souls for power in accordance with the stone, how it sang to them in the dark. I felt time, the horror of it. I saw the mound built over the cave and the bones buried within, the teeth chattering still into the void. I saw a church built upon the mound, a house built upon the church, and the house built upon the house. This place, whether cave or church or mansion, has always been the witch house, guarding the song deep within its depths. Can you hear it? The stone is a song. And it's also a door. When I was where you are dreaming now, I looked under the bed. And I saw the face of every child taken. The last face I saw was my own. You will free me, the witch said, though it did not release me at first. For many years it made me watch what it did to the children. A tongue, still squirming, cast in the cauldron to alleviate a stutter. Brain, sliced and sautéed, eaten one piece at a time, while chanting, I remember.
I remember.
I remember.
I remember. I remember.
To restore an old woman's mind. Femurs and shins, snapped and charred, to ensure the champion soccer player will not compete.
Another secret? Children aren't the only ones that vanish. Out-of-towners searching for adventure. Criminals on the lam. A homeless man seeking shelter from the rain.
They end up here, with you, in the hum. One night, a night just like this one, the witch freed me from its invisible grip. It beckoned me toward the fire.
I looked at my hands. Changed. My knuckles crusted with old blood, my fingernails long and ragged and sharp. I walked unsteadily on unfamiliar feet, shuffling from one foot to the next.
Do you remember your wish? Said the witch. I stared into the cauldron, watching the bubbles drift slowly to the top of the stew.
I don't remember, I said. My voice like a door knocker rusted from disuse.
You are not the you think you know, said the witch. You were only a story you told yourself in the dark. I know your wish. It said, as it was once my own, to escape. But you have always been here, it said. Eat of these, my entrails first, said the witch. Free me,
and I will grant your wish.
The witch slid the knife across itself, and its bowels sank to the floor. It grabbed my neck and forced its mouth to mine and said,
"You will always be here. And in this moment, I am free, and now you will know. You are to become the witch, and now..."
"And now you are here, as you always have been, and always will be.
Remind yourself, this
is a dream. Soon you will awake, and though you will wonder where you were, each moment after will bring you here. And soon I shall be free. Come, join me at the fire.
Take of these my entrails first. Free me, and I will grant your wish. Take of me next my eyes, that you may see the path you walk. Take last of me my tongue, that I tell you this. You will wake. You will live one moment to the next, and every path will lead you here. Tomorrow, tonight, a year from now, or 10. You are not the you were, and every step brings you closer to recognizing this place, where you always were and always are. And in that moment, you will realize.
Wake up, friend. Wake up. Did you see her? Did you see her? The specter! Oh, you did! Lucky you! We are close. Careful now. Careful. Good. 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 Have you come around fully? Very few have encountered her and returned. You are still you, yes? Of course you are. Oh. I felt her presence here, too. Saw her telltale glow from under the bed. The architect referred to her as his muse, but as you have seen, she is something else entirely. Now, steady yourself. I need your assistance moving the bed. Oh, a hatch. In the floor. Yes, of course it was under the bed. Tomorrow night, we shall open the hatch and descend. God, you've done it! I knew you would! And all without a single word. On the morrow, my dear friend, ascension awaits. I do not know what we will face in the depths, but we will face it bravely together. Adieu, my dearest friend. Tomorrow... we ascend.
13 Days of Halloween was created by Matt Frederick and Alex Williams and executive produced by Aaron Mankey, starring Keegan-Michael Key as the caretaker. Today's story was written by Ben Bolin, performed by Marissa Grindstaff, and directed by Alex Williams, with editing and sound design by Miranda Hawkins, additional writing and script supervision from Nicholas Dukoski, casting by Jessica Luza. Only one day remains. Tomorrow, another story.
And after countless sleepless months, Oliver found it. A forbidden ritual recorded in a lost language to call forth an ancient entity. One with the power to shape time and space itself. At the appointed hour on the appointed night, the architect and Oliver cast a circle of obscure sigils. Together, they read aloud the vile incantations. Together, they spilled each other's blood. And together, they witnessed the impossible.
13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And learn more about 13 Days of Halloween at grimandmild.com.